From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. President Donald Trump fulfilled another of his campaign promises Thursday, announcing that he is pulling the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement on climate change.
The United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord.
The move by Trump was criticized by a number of other world leaders, including France's new president.
Donald Trump announced his decision to withdraw the United States from the Paris Agreement. I do respect this decision.
That was the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, speaking Thursday.
But I do think it is an actual mistake, both for the U.S. and for our planet.
Similar statements were issued by Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel and Italy's Prime Minister Paolo Gentiloni. That according to Reuters. However, while the attention of the U.S. media was focused on Trump and the Paris Climate Agreement, Russia's President Vladimir Putin hosted international press at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, and we bring you that press conference in its entirety here.
Dear friends, distinguished colleagues, it is my pleasure to see you again in St. Petersburg. On the margin of the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. Do you have the English interpretation? Is everything okay? We organize regular meetings in the frame of this forum. Nevertheless, the practices that we used to have rather late night meetings, and we finished even later. So now we are happy to have the chance to have a clear mind in order to have our meeting. It is my pleasure to see you all, to welcome you all here, and I give the floor to Mr. Mikhailov to have an introductory speech, and then we will move on to our informal discussion. Distinguished Mr. Putin, distinguished colleagues, thank you very much. According to the tradition, let me try to fulfill the role of a moderator. It is the fourth time that we meet on the margin of the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. Many of present colleagues here have come here before previously, and each year we see new faces here, and it is my pleasure to welcome you here in St. Petersburg. I hope that this fresh blood will be a fruitful contribution to our meeting. After each and every meeting, Mr. Putin, it seems that we have put all the points, dots on eyes, but every year we are hopeful that we are going to have some innovative ideas. It has been the case today. What we see now is that, despite our efforts and our initiatives, we see that politicians and media representatives that try to practice rather anti-Russian rhetorics, others also compare us to Daesh and to other terrorist organizations. In some cartoons, we even see that Russia is represented, is portrayed as a country that has waged a hybrid war. And of course, it is discouraging. It is a threat of instability. How do you think how long this unfair attack on Russia will continue? And what do you think is necessary to do in order to fight against this aggressive rhetoric against Russia? That is my first question.
First and foremost,
I would like to dwell upon the root causes of this anti-Russian discourse. It is overwhelming coming from some countries. What are the reasons? To my mind, the main reason is that we are witnessing the multipolar world being established. And
Proponents
monopoly tend not to like it.
And those who prefer a monopolar world always fight against this multipolar world. This situation is also due to the fight that Russia leads for its legitimate interests, and I stress it.
That is the first reason.
The second reason has to do with the fact that
some time ago,
some of our partners from countries and groups of countries started to try to ensure the practice of holding Russia
and not letting it
defend its interests,
and they have been acting
against the
law,
but now what they see is that this practice does not function at all. It is counterproductive, and it leads to a certain irritation.
Какими-то способами добиться своего.
And they still want
это вызывает стремление обострить ситуацию.
To defend their own interests,
к сожалению, для тех, кто это делает, мы не даем повода.
Unfortunately,
ну, вот, we do not give them any good reasons to do that,
but they try to find it from nothing, from the thin air.
Думаю, что how long will it last? Надеюсь, во всяком случае,
I'm hopeful
не так долго,
that it will not last long,
хотя бы
it will
потому,
not go forever,
должно прийти осознание, что это
at least because they should understand that this practice is counterproductive and is harmful for everyone. It is harmful also for those who initiate this practice. And my understanding is that they are already starting to understand that, because we see some positive trends, and I am hopeful that it will persist in the future.
Начнем нашу с наших коллег. В прошлом году, когда, как вы правильно заметили, закончили за полночь, и погода помешала некоторым нашим коллегам задать вопросы, поэтому мы сочли, что в этом году было бы честно начать с них. Впервые на форум приехал руководитель ведущего новостного агентства Германии. Я с удовольствием представляю вам генерального директора агентства ДПА, господина Питера Кропша. Он приехал сюда первый раз, но в Санкт-Петербурге. Последний раз до этого он был в 81 году в составе молодежной делегации объединенного общества советской дружбы. Поэтому нашел много изменений в Санкт-Петербурге. А кроме того, он с завистью отзывался о вашем восьмом даме, поскольку у него черный пояс, но первый
дам.
He has the black belt, and he said that in order to reach your level,
another 50 years are required. So the floor is yours, Peter.
Also, ich möchte mich da wirklich sehr herzlich bedanken, dass Sie sich die Zeit nehmen, für, dass wir heute in dieser Runde mit den Journalistenkollegen mit Ihnen sprechen können. Now I'm going to switch to English, but it's a little better, and I have a question concerning we will have parliament elections in Germany this year, and what would you think in the sense of the relationship between Germany and Russia? Would you prefer to work with your partner Chancellor Merkel, or could you imagine that with a Chancellor Schulz you could even make bigger progress? And maybe a second question, I know you answered that, but asking for your advice there. There are always kind of nervosities in Germany about the situation, that it could be that some hackers, maybe also from Russia, could try to influence by leaking information or by false information this election process. Would you think that could be possible, and what would be your advice for Germany and the German officials?
Thank you. Первая часть вашего вопроса касается взаимоотношений с моими партнерами, с коллегами в данном случае Федеративной Республики. Мы с Ангелой давно знакомы, работаем вместе. У нас есть разногласия, но есть много точек соприкосновения, особенно это касается вопросов экономического взаимодействия. Кстати говоря, и по некоторым аспектам международной политики тоже схожие мнения во многом. Но, повторяю, есть проблемы к возможному решению, которых мы подходим по-разному. Господин Шульц, я практически не знаю, но это опытный человек. Он давно в политике, и в европейской политике, и в немецкой, вернулся недавно в немецкую политику. Нам, в принципе, и когда я говорю «нам», имею в виду всю команду российскую, нам, в общем-то, все равно, с кем работать. Главное, чтобы эти люди были так же, как и мы, настроены на конструктивные взаимодействия. У нас здесь нет никаких предпочтений. И, на мой взгляд, если и мы, и наши партнеры будут руководствоваться не сиюминутной политической конъюнктурой, а фундаментальными интересами наших стран, наших народов, то мы точно найдем не только с точки соприкосновения, но и правильный путь взаимодействия, эффективный путь сотрудничества, эффективный способ сотрудничества. У меня сомнений больших нет. Собственно, не точно больших, вообще никаких сомнений нет на этот счет. Потому что у нас очень много взаимных интересов. Кооперация, скажем, в экономике, отдельных отраслях, взаимозависимость в отдельных отраслях, такая, что от ее успешного развития зависит десятки, если не сотни, тысяч рабочих мест. Hundreds or thousands of jobs depend on this cooperation, both in Germany and in Russia. This is a paramount factor of our coexistence in today's world and in Europe in particular.
Получают огромную выгоду от работы на русском рынке.
German manufacturers benefit a lot from operating in the Russian market.
Большим экспертом и специалистом, чтобы понимать, что и российская.
It's not rocket science to understand that the Russian economy also has its interest in promoting.
И надо сказать, что мы здесь много делаем.
And it is worth mentioning that we have been applying lots of efforts.
То, что у нас объемы торговли и рост, по-моему, в первом квартале составил там.
The growth in our economic exchange, and I believe it was up to 40% this year. I'm not sure about the statistics, but anyway, it was a considerable growth.
Целый ряд проектов, при котором
we have been developing quite a number of projects.
Продукции на территории России
высокотехнологичные, то есть так называемый
процент
локализации, where the level of localization is very significant, up to 60 or 70%. Another example refers to automobile construction manufacturing.
Несмотря на все сложности политического характера, ни одна из немецких компаний, собственно говоря, так же, как и других иностранных наших партнеров,
no German company
все работают.
Has left the Russian market. They're still up and running despite political and economic woes. I'm referring to the drop of production rate, the drop in the GDP and real income of the population owing to lower demand. Nevertheless, these companies are still there. And the government is striving to help them. It is a constructive work which is in the pipeline. For instance, Germany has abandoned the nuclear energy. And in the energy basket, the nuclear comes to a huge proportion, more than in Russia. And Germany is about to abandon, but they still need to find resources. What we see in Norway is that resources are very scarce.
Там тоже истощаются запасы.
The UK also has scarce resources, which are about to go depleted.
Мы все время еще на прошлом форуме говорили о перспективах.
At the latest forum, we also discussed the prospect of the Yamal project, when We had up to 2.7 trillion cubic meters of gas. And we have recently discovered additional deposits of oil. It means that the deposits will be doubled over 4.2 trillion cubic meters of gas deposits have been discovered. Let us not forget about geographical proximity of Russia, about logistic expenses, which are really lower. And of course, it leads us to a natural, to an efficient cooperation. It is the most cost-efficient
energy,
and this is a natural process, and let us not forget that I'm talking about long-term prospects, I'm talking about sustainable supply of energy resources, and what is of vital importance is that it helps to ensure the competitive advantage of Germany, because Germany will have a sustainable, cost-efficient energy resource. Historically, we have built very strong humanitarian relations with Germany, despite the tragedy of two wars. The contacts between our nations have always been in place. Where am I leading? I hope that the new leadership of Germany will be able to understand the whole package of our efficient relations. And based on this, no matter who will lead Germany, the fundamental factor of our relations will still remain positive. Now coming to the second part of your question about hackers. Hackers can emerge anywhere. They can come from any country around the globe. Apparently, the general context of interstate relations, hackers are liberal, liberal job representatives. If they wake up in the morning, they're in high spirits, they might have read a certain article, and if they are in the patriotic mood, then they start making their contribution the way they see it positive towards the Russian image. But in theory, it is possible. Nevertheless, I must stress that at the state level, we are never engaged into this kind of activity. That's the first point. The second point, I can imagine that someone might do it on purpose, builds a whole series of hacker attacks so that the source of this attack would be considered the Russian government. And of course, you can use high technologies, modern technologies, to create such a situation. But what is of vital importance is that it is my conviction that no hackers are capable of having a real influence on the German electoral campaign.
No
information can have a direct impact on people's mind, nor on final results of the elections. So once again, at the state level, we are not engaged, we do not have any intentions to do that. On the contrary, we try to fight against these activities, these trends. It is my conviction, once again, that no hackers will be able to have an impact on the electoral campaign in any country, whether it's America or Asia. Thank you very much.
Следующий наш коллега, который тоже не удалось.
Now it is my pleasure to give the floor to another colleague who failed to ask a question last year, and he kept reminding me of that. And it is my pleasure to give the floor to Mr. Dzunakondo, Vice President of the Coyote News Information Agency, representative of the agency in Moscow. And this agency opened even before there was an exchange between our embassies. We know that this year has been characterized by very active economic relations, trying to find new approaches to the pending issues. Mr. Kondo has the third dan on karate and the first in judo,
We definitely see that there is an interest in Duda.
Well, we specialists in martial arts, we have to teach others who still don't know how to do that. I suggest we should meet in tatami next time. Thank you very much for giving me the floor, for giving me this chance to ask a question. My question is related to Russian-Japanese relations as well as the South Kuril Islands. Prime Minister Abe and you have reached an agreement to perform joint economic activities in the Kuril Islands, which will certainly going to reinforce trust between Japan and Russia. But as for the sentiments among the Japanese, we know that Russia is building up its military presence in Itarup and Kunashi, which is a source of some concern to the Japanese nation. It is a source of concern. On the other hand, Russia might be concerned that once the peace agreement is struck and two islands are going to be transferred to Russia, then in accordance with the Japanese-American treaty, American troops can be deployed on those islands. So my question is whether the Kuril Islands can be demilitarized. I do not think that this issue can be resolved right away, I mean the South Kuril Islands issue. But if you've got a certain position on that matter, I would very much like you to share it with us. What do you think the approaches can be to address this issue? My second issue is related to the missile issue of the DPRK. Indubitably, this is a threat to security in Northeast Asia as a whole. What do you think the prospects are for settling this matter, especially in light of the U.S. troops' activities in these territories? These are the questions I would like to ask. As for the building up of our military presence in the Russian Far East, and in particular in the islands, the thing is, this is not Russia's initiative, or the same as it's not Russia's initiative in another part of the world, in Europe. NATO's military bases are moving closer to our frontiers, as well as the infrastructure, the troops are building up. What are we to do? Should we just sit idly by, staring at what's happening near our borders? No, we have to give a proper response. And this is what's happening in the East as well. Have a look. One aircraft carrier has drawn closer. Another one, the third, they say, is also on the move.
The third one. Okay. Aircraft carriers, they come and go, but they create the anti-missile systems, increasing that kind of potential. We speak about this, we say that it is a wrong thing. We've been saying this for decades, that it's undermining the strategic balance in the world. We are all adults and experts here. We've been working for decades, but you keep silent. The world keeps silent as if nothing happens. No one listens to us. Well, maybe you listen, but you don't do anything. Do not broadcast and transmit that information to the people. And the public, the people of the world, know nothing. And what is happening is a very alarming process. Alaska, then South Korea. These are the sites where the anti-missile system is being built. And should we just sit and wait? No, we are thinking of how to respond to these challenges, because for us these are challenges. When we were speaking about the anti-missile system in Europe, They said that was because of Iran, in order to curtail the nuclear program which existed in Iran and the threat of Iran. But now we have an agreement with Iran, no threat. There is no threat. We have all the control and monitoring from the relevant national body, IAEA. But still they continue to build that anti-missile system. And the question is, who are they trying to target? They said, no, it's only about Iran. That's against that threat. So again, I say this, but no one responds, no one reacts. No feedback. Why are you keeping silent? You're all silent about this. Because that pushes and steps up the arms race, spiraling it up. That's just evident. We always have to think of how to respond it. We have to modernize our offensive capabilities of how to overcome that anti-missile system. That's the same thing which happens on the islands. We think about security, how to ensure security of our country. How can we curtail the threats? That is why these islands are quite a good place for our military potential to be developed there. So I don't agree that we are doing this unilaterally, that we militarize the islands. No, that's an answer to the things happening in the region. Certainly, here, as well as it was the case with Iran, you can say that it's because of the North Korean nuclear threat. But it's not about this, I think, because tomorrow North Korea can say that they suspend all tests, all missile programs. But the anti-missile system of the United States will continue to exist. They will continue to build it just under the same pretext they used to. They use as an excuse for the anti-missile system construction in Europe. I'm just answering your question, and I'm just explaining you the position we have. Now, turning to the second part of your question, which is a theoretical possibility that the U.S. troops can be deployed to these islands if, theoretically speaking, these islands can become part of Japan. Well, that is also possible. That's something which is part of the of an agreement. And the protocols, we haven't seen them, but we, well, know the contents, you see. I'm not going to give you any details, because you know them and I know them. But it is possible that the U.S. troops can be deployed on these islands if they become part of Japan. So, we don't want to undermine relations with the United States. We don't want this. But we are afraid of nothing. What we see today is the inner struggle within the U.S. and the anti-Russian campaign, the Russophobia campaign. And we don't know in what direction the situation will be going. We are not the one who put the process in action. Yesterday it was all good, all flowers, but next day comes and they have anti-missile system. We can demilitarize the region. Well, we can do this, but we should understand that there should be something more than just demilitarization of the islands. We should think seriously about the demilitarization of the whole region, you see. Only this way we can achieve some tangible results and arrangements, but it's just too difficult to say which and what kind of arrangements we can reach.
Thank you, Mr. Putin. Thank you, Mr. Junakundo.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.